You're listening to a podcast from the Brookings Institution.
If we lose sight of this ultimate reason of the crisis, that is the relatively low rate of growth, I think we're going to miss, the most effective way of handling the crisis.
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at issues behind the news. This week, from Greece to Italy, the unfolding debt crisis in Europe.
Italy is the latest country rocked by the debt crisis that's been stalking European economies for more than a year. Now, like Greece, which has been devastated, Italy finds itself struggling to remain solvent. The EU needs to revamp its monetary policies and prepare for tough times ahead, notes senior fellow Domenico Lombardi.
This crisis, which is really a crisis of the euro area, is not a national crisis of Greece, a national crisis of Portugal, of Ireland, not even of Italy. It's really a crisis of the euro area that originates from two main reasons. One is a concern from financial markets operators that the euro area as a whole is not growing enough to support an increasing pile of public debt. And this is particularly true of some countries of the euro area, Italy being one among them. And secondly, there's been an insufficient appreciation among European policymakers about the potential for externalities generated from being part of a monetary union.
This crisis first struck in Greece more than a year ago, and Greece has taken austerity measures. It has received some bailout monies. But there's still much more to be done, isn't there?
The scale of the problems that Greece is facing right now is really humongous. And I think it discounts really a number of optimistic assumptions that were made at the outset. One certainly being that it would be possible to solve many of these issues in a relatively shorter length of time, which has turned out not to be true. The Greek government, under very difficult circumstances, has been able to implement substantial fiscal adjustment. And yet, in order to implement the second round of reforms, this will necessarily require, more time. There is a commitment from the Greek government to implement a far-reaching program of privatization, but clearly, given the limited capacity of the authorities, this will take time to be implemented. Likewise, a number of structural reforms, which are required to lift the growth of the Greek economy, will also require some time to be implemented and then, to see the gains coming from those reforms.
Italy is one of the largest economies in the Eurozone, and it's now beset with financial problems. But because Italy is too big to fail, policymakers will probably be very quick about taking action to keep it solvent. These policies, in turn, will help Greece, won't they?
The fact that Italy has now been affected by the latest wave of the European crisis is going to introduce a fundamental shift in the political dynamics of this crisis. Because Italy is too big to fail, because Italy is a systemic economy of the euro area, the euro area cannot afford Italy to fall down, because this would have really far-reaching consequences for all the economies of the monetary union. And therefore, this will induce really many actors that have been so far responsible for much of food dragging to be more cooperative and to really make a more balanced assessment that would enable the euro area to really come to an agreement in terms of formulating a more convincing, a more effective response to Greece. Because until the Greek problem is not fixed, we're going to see, waves of contagion to other parts of the euro area, Italy being the most recent example.
Arguably, this crisis has been years in the making. Why wasn't it stopped? Why weren't preemptive steps taken before now?
One of the lessons that can be drawn from the European Monetary Union is that the lack of a centralized fiscal authority has really been at the root of the crisis as we are, as it is unfolding right now. A centralized fiscal authority does not need to be something equivalent to the U.S. Treasury, though. There are various ways in which, you know, you can improve on the current situation, but certainly the framework that the Europeans have had so far in place has not been optimal because essentially countries would be left free to formulate their own fiscal policies even if they would not implement their own commitments. There would be no repercussions, no sanctions, no audits. And I think, you know, you do need some more centralization, some more coordination that should be implemented in a much more credible way in order to reassure markets. And this is one of the reasons that has led the ECB president, Jean-Claude Trichet, to argue for the establishment of a euro area finance minister that in a way would fill this gap.
Stay up to date with the latest research, learn about Brookings events, and search our directory of experts, all from your mobile device. To download Brookings for your BlackBerry, Android, iPhone, or iPad, go to brookings.edu/mobile.